Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux to the Rest of Us, episode 154. This is a show about Linux. We cover a variety of Linux topics, software, hardware. Speaking of we, I am Cody Supercoop Cooper, a.k.a. the Ice Machine, and I am here once again after a short hiatus with my good friend, the Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Dort?
Oh, the Ice Machine, the Ice Machine. We're going to have a little rendezvous here in like 2 weeks.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, Northeast GNU Linux Fest, or as I commonly refer to it as Negulf, is nearing. I can just, the hair on my forearms is standing up. I bought some beer tonight to warm up my liver for it.
There you go.
This is a shout out to Chuck Litchfield, who isn't probably...
What kind is
it? It's called Drunkle.
Good
by Seven Brides Brewery. He posted a photo of this on Google Plus about 7-10 days ago, and he lives in Salem, the town I work in, and it's at a local store. He picked it up at, and I went and I saw the store, and it was fantastic. But it's just over 10% alcohol content, so
fair.
Is, you know, it's not as low as I normally go, but it'll do tonight. But
well, that just means you'll enjoy it quicker.
That's right. Yes. It'll, the waves of pleasure are coming in slowly but surely.
Exactly. First thing I wanted to mention super quick was a basic. We haven't really done basics for a while, and I wanted to actually give someone else credit. Again, like I'll say a billion times, like no other podcast seems to be aware of other podcasts even existing. I, on the other hand, do everything I can to promote other podcasts infatuately. That's what it sounds like. Flatulent. I can't even say it.
Infatuated,
right.
Is that what you mean to say?
No, sure. Larry and Tom, Larry and Bill, Larry and Bill over at Going Linux, they do a really good job. They've done a good job for a long time. Two unbelievably nice, sensible guys who I'll just say I don't know how well they would fare at a conference with the likes of me. But I did an interview with them, I guess it was about a month ago. It aired on February 24th, episode 236, but that's not what I'm talking about them. They did a audio podcast, and I'll say this, I've seen it in text, or I've seen it in pictures, and they do a really good job explaining it. But this audio podcast to me did the best audio description of the Linux file system in the most layman terms, in what I call the Linux file system 101. This is like the most basic class you can get kind of thing, and they describe everything from what I can tell perfectly. Okay, it's episode 239. There is going to be a link to it in the notes
of what show, though, Door? You have yet to mention the
Going
there
Linux.
You go. There you go.
Okay. I didn't say the show.
Nope. I just wanted to cut in there just a little bit. You're giving them a great amount of credit, but everybody's like, yeah, great. So what's the name of the show?
I do that too sometimes. Okay. On Android app acts, we're like 4 minutes into talking about the app, I realized I didn't say the name, but. Going Linux. Yeah, it is a podcast that aims to talk about the very beginning hurdles and the very basic knowledge to help people to quote-unquote go Linux. Period. Bottom line, they do a really good job. They're very consistent, which I will say is a trait I admire. And this show, to me, honestly, they actually referenced a document on the Geek Stuff by a guy who I can't pronounce his name, and they do everything they can to make sure they give him as much tribute as possible, because he did really do a good job. There's no doubt about that. But I'm an audio guy. I learn best by hearing and by doing, not by reading. So I personally really enjoyed that episode, and I really encourage everybody to literally download this episode, keep it in there, little hidden archive, and if you find somebody who's new to Linux, make sure you get them that audio file, because it's just, to me, a great resource to have. A lot of people, you know, they first come over, they think the C drive, the program files folder, the Windows folder, and it all seems very confusing, and it all seems very complicated when in fact it's actually quite simple once you get over the shock of it.
Yeah, I would say most modern GUIs are made in such a way where you could sit anyone in front of it, and within a few minutes, you know, they can navigate pretty easily. But when it comes to the underlying file system, if you're moving from different formats, you know, from OS X, you know, to Windows, to I'm thinking one of my first computers, the Tandy 1000, it had this tree structure, and I remember it being so foreign to me, but once I started playing with it and really kind of digging into it, it made sense. And albeit I was a kid, I didn't really know much else to do. But yeah, I can definitely speak to the quality of those shows as well. That's a show I've listened to for a number of years. And whenever I think of Larry Bushy and the information that he gives out, and yes, they've been doing it consistently for a while, I always think of him as that really nice uncle. You know what I mean? That sits me down and he's like, oh, you want to learn about technology? Well, let's do this together and you do it right. Because they, if I remember correctly, because I've been listening to all the episodes recently, but they kind of have two tracks they alternate between as far as their episodes. Isn't it like feedback and then a normal like lesson, whether it beginning, intermediate, or advanced?
Yeah, they do the beginning and advanced. They throw in feedback episode when they have enough. And I will say they do a really good job with getting feedback. And then, of course, they have the Computer America shows, which have gotten a trillion times better since Craig Crossman got a co-host who actually uses computers, dare I say.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. He is a smart guy, the other guy on the show. He's a ethical hacker, so he's very Linux savvy, so he's able to hold very good conversations with Larry. So that show, to be honest, in my opinion, has really became worth re-downloading and re-listening to it if you missed it. And I'll say my impression of Larry is very close to yours. Whenever I think of Larry, I think of him as being the younger teacher at school who is basically hip and who you can talk to in a plain voice and communicate with him like he's your friend, and he just, you know, gives all the information he can on whatever subject that he's teaching, and he, dare I say, he makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of good info there. Goinglinux.com is the website, a nice archive of shows, and then, of course, the Computer America show as well. A lot of great content those guys are putting out, so definitely go check it out.
Yeah, and I'll say, I just randomly like saying that other podcasts don't mention other podcasts just to make certain people really mad. And the kicker is, I don't know who those other people are, but I'm sure there's somebody out there who really gets mad when I say that. Okay. This next is the Linux Academy stuff, and I don't know how much time you had to play with it, Cody. I got to spend at least a couple minutes there digging in, playing around, looking at the interface, and I gotta say once again, if you do want to learn and you don't go, like, now to the Linux Academy, you're going to end up paying more money, whether it be with somebody else or they're going to increase their rates sooner or later, because I still feel like what they charge is an insanely low amount of money in regards to how much data that you're presented with and how nice of a user interface and how nice of an experience it is using that website.
I unfortunately haven't had a chance to get into it yet. I was going to do that today, but I had to take a pet to the veterinarian for a procedure. So most of my day was waiting by the phone for that. But this is my first day off I've had in over 10 days. But tonight and on Wednesday, I'm going to dig into it because we were given some access to it to get some opinions, which we appreciate. Thank you. And I'll definitely report back next week with some of my opinions.
Very cool, very cool. And I will remind people, do not forget, it's $1 to try it for 14 days.
Yeah.
If you've ever emailed me in the past and you literally don't have the dollar for this, email me back again. I will PayPal you the dollar, okay? I will literally PayPal you the dollar so you can try this for 14 days, because there's no doubt in my mind when you try it, you're going to be hooked. This is literally like going from dial-up 1200 baud modem to gigabit Ethernet when it comes to streamlined presentable, educational. I mean, to get anything close to this, for anything close to the price, would require a lot of research on your part, just trying to find this information. And I cannot emphasize enough, unlimited access to all of the course material. Everything is handled as a course, where at the end you can take a basic play test so you can see how well that you do it. You get your own real quote-unquote lab servers to play with. You can wipe, reboot, reinstall. You can just play with all day long. Scenarios based on hands-on real Linux situations. You can get your LPIC cert, your Amazon Web Services cert, and you even get 20% off your Linux exam voucher. All I ask is that if you go to the website, you use a referral code. You can either use Linux for the Rest of Us or use anybody else. Use Everyday Linux. Use somebody. Make sure you give somebody credit is my main thing. I got to let people know. Give somebody credit for going there. Don't just go there. If it's me, thank you very much. If it's Element Opie, on behalf of Mark, I say thank you very much. And if it's somebody else, I say thank you on behalf of them.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into this. And if you guys are ever on the fence, I mean, a buck for a 2-week trial, that is next to nothing. I'll say that I do well as far as technical items, learning in a more guided environment, I guess. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, that to me is the best part. It's guided, but encourages you to play. And that to me is the best of both worlds. And that's why I think Anthony is really on the right path. And why, if he doesn't blow up in the idea of like web traffic, somebody's going to finally discover him and realize what he's doing and literally offer him a lot of money for that website.
You said off him.
That's what I personally believe.
Are they going to be like, this guy's dispensing Linux information too quickly. We need to have him handled.
Exactly.
Either that or it'd be like Breaking Bad and he'll be out, you know, on the street. That red Astro van pulls up. He just goes like lives in the Ozarks or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I never watched Breaking Bad. Go ahead. You can criticize me now, but before you do.
But did you watch The Wire?
I could not watch
The Wire you didn't have HBO.
Because I live around Baltimore, Maryland. And the problem with The Wire is it's not graphic enough. It's not violent enough. It's not true enough to the dirtiness of the streets of Baltimore.
You see, that's why I didn't watch Breaking Bad until it hit Netflix, because I live in Methville, USA. Like, none of it shocked me. So, but I mean, it's a fantastic show, but at the same time, it was more like a tame documentary rather than a gripping drama for me at certain parts.
Well, I'll say this. If they would have, quote unquote, ended the series right, I would have went back and watched the whole thing. They didn't end it
right. I completely disagree, but you're only going to find that out one way.
No, I already know. They didn't end it with him waking up.
Oh, right. Sent, yeah.
Being sent as, what was it called?
The dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. Yeah, witness protection and being the dad and Malcolm in the Middle. Then I would have watched the whole series. Okay, the last thing I got to say about the Linux Academy
is that what we were talking about?
Okay, yes. Right. If there's three different ways to pay after the 14 days: per month, per 6 months, or per year. Of course, if you go for the per year, you get the lowest price, which is $19. 6 months though is only $20. To go each month is $25. So I really do encourage people at least go for the 6 month whack, partially because it will take you 6 months to basically take in all of the content. But in that 6 months, what you'll realize is the content never stops building. So for you to stop paying means you are literally going to miss out on all future content. So you really should just stick with it. Because dare I say, Microsoft Windows servers actually trended down last year. The first year in, I think it was like 9 years, Windows server installations trended down while Linux went up even more, which means Linux enterprise jobs are only on the rise. This is the kind of material you can get that will literally help your career if you really want it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm looking to, because I've spoken about wanting, because I mean, honestly, and I haven't hid this from anybody, shouldn't be surprised, but I humbly consider myself kind of a basic user. So for me to get in here and sort of, you know, just buff up my knowledge a bit and learn, I'm definitely starting to dive into some server stuff. Martin Obando, Rambo in the chat. We've been talking a bit. We got a project in the works, but definitely wanted to kind of expand my horizons, and I think that this is going to be a fantastic way for me to do it at a great price and supporting a great guy who is supporting the community with continuous content.
Exactly. Really good guy, top-notch service. And then please, people out there, if you want to hear us talk less about this, send us your email, send us your voicemail, 7076podnuts. Tell us what your experience was with Lennox academy.com.
Very good. All right.
Very cool. Yeah, again, April 5th, Northeast GNU Lennox Fest, Cambridge, Massachusetts. If you can be there or anywhere around there on that weekend, let me know. I will definitely do everything I can to connect with you, and we can meet, greet, have lunch, have beers, go to the event. Hang out. Good times.
I can't wait, Dor. I know. I get to do a red eye with Martin all the way there. And oh, and I saw your MOGA control that you bought, so that'll keep you busy.
I it's going to be a 10-hour bus trip. I had to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, oh man. Yeah, if you guys are in the area at all, it's going to be a fantastic event. But much as we've spoken about in the past, the event is only, I mean, the actual event is only part of the experience. It's the before, the after, the conversations in the hallway, the interaction, the meeting the people. So yeah, do not hesitate. If you can make it, please come down. You're going to have a great time. You're going to get some really good information, and then it could be an adventure. If you want, we could arrange I could arrange a special field trip for those involved. That's all I'm going to say. If you're interested, you let me know. We'll get a field trip ready. Little side quest.
Very cool. This first thing I wanted to throw out here, I'm not going to try it. I'm not going to play with it. It just looked interesting to me. You can create slow motion videos on Linux with a dedicated application. While I do not like the idea of installing a million things to do a million things, I like to try to reuse tools as much as possible. Slow motion video does appear to me to be kind of almost like a specialized field. And I'll say if you require a GUI and you want those kind of controls over that, I cannot encourage you enough. Check out this link on Web Update, webupd8.org. It is titled Create Classy Slow Motion Videos in Linux with Slow Mo Video, all one word, Slow Mo Video. Looks like a decent app to me. Looks like it does exactly what it says. And by the results I'm seeing in these sample videos, looks like it does a pretty good job to me.
Yeah, this is nice. This reminds me of, you can just plug in a video file into this and then slow it down?
Yes, and you get a lot of advanced controls, and you could actually, in like a 10-second video, let's just say hypothetically, you can have the speed changing every second of that video. So the first second could be really quick, the next second could be really slow, the third second could be normal time. And you can keep changing the speed throughout the video to make, let's say, extra effects.
This is a fantastic tool. With my multimedia background, I can say that doing this by hand for specific projects, I'm thinking of, time lapses, like one of the videos that they're applying this to in kind of their test footage is, you know, clouds going over the sky. But you see speed manipulation, you know, in films. I mean, the obvious, you know, when you're dealing with liquid, you know, like rain or like, you know, someone being thrown into a puddle, you know, things like that for more dramatic effect. But speeding up footage for fight scenes, things like that, it's very useful. And to have this tool, which the interface looks really nice, to have as an extra kind of a tool to put in that tool belt if you're doing a lot of video manipulation, looks really neat.
I didn't even think about that. Fight scenes is the perfect example of just tweaking it just a little.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah. And what you'll often see is when the hero lands that one blow that sort of sends the fight his way. Right before the connection, it slows down just a little bit, and then it speeds up to sort of crack the villain in the head, and then from there, it's regular speed again. It's a proven aesthetic property. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah. I can't either, but I can distinctly remember Bruce Lee fight scene. He's getting ready to do the big jump to, like, land on top somebody, and the whole jump goes super, super slow-mo, or when he does the chest punch, the heart punch, it echoes slow, and then for extra effect, he just holds it there for like another 5 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
Good stuff.
And this reminds me too, I don't know if you saw it on Google Plus today, but someone posted it was like a 2 minute, I guess, slow mode clip of Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
But let's just say slowed down, Neil sounds like a completely different kind of person.
He sounds like he would fit in your town using narcotics. I'll say that.
That's true. Or,
that's what he sounded like. Yeah. I was like, oh my Lord.
Laid back with his mind on his money and his money on his mind. That's right.
Exactly. It was unbelievable. That was so funny. And here's the funniest thing. I first saw that last night via an app. If you want to know about the app or the website, FiveBy, you got to go check out something else. I was watching FiveBy, and Neil deGrasse Tyson was giving a talk where he pulled that video up, and he was showing people the video, and he said, I had nothing to do with this. So I thought that was pretty, pretty funny.
And let me just say that if Dore, all of a sudden, like, we can't get a hold of him, for whatever reason, and you're like, oh, where is he? Like, APC stops editing shows for a little while, or if he stops going to work, like, we just can't get in comunicado with him at all, and we think, oh my God, is he dead? No, he's just sitting in a cubicle or on a toilet somewhere just watching FiveBy videos. That's all it is.
I can't stop. Well, that's the thing. I used to watch a lot of web videos, like a year plus ago, 2 years ago. I used to watch a lot of web videos.
Was it a lot of BuzzFeed?
No. As far as I knew, BuzzFeed didn't exist.
Oh, okay.
I was watching stuff like the Dig Reel stupid stuff like that. FiveBy is a narcotic because it's a video concierge service. The YouTube recommended watch things is very horrible, in my opinion. This does a great job of doing it, and it's Chromecastable, so I can sit on my couch and just with my phone, just boom, 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 flip through stuff. So, yes, it might be the end of me.
Mm-hmm.
I will absolutely say that. But this link, Martin just hit me off on Google+. I will first say, if this is real, my mind is going to be officially blown, okay? It's a link over on Softpedia stating outright, Debian could get PPA support. I will just say, the fact that it could be getting PPA support is really not the shocking part. The shocking part is Debian, you go to a website and it tells you how to do something in Ubuntu and it says a PPA. If you can literally copy paste that kind of stuff into Debian and you can run and load that quote unquote new library of applications or resources or whatever, that is quite literally technically insane, because that would, in my humble opinion, make Debian already is the rock. Debian already is the most solid distribution you can get. It's also, to a lot of people, old and crusty, okay? If it can get this little bit of PPA goodness into it, it could, in my humble opinion, make Debian much, much, much more usable for a wider audience. I really do like Debian, and this would only make me like it more.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't PPA Personal Package Archive?
Yes,
it okay. is. Okay, so I'm trying to get this straight in my own head, so help me, please correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially, like, if someone were to release a PPA for Ubuntu today, mm-hmm. traditionally, you couldn't use it in Debian. But now, with this, Debian is, the loose term is like, backwards compatible. So you could use something made specifically for a derivative, but actually use it on, like, the mothership. Does that make sense? Am I right?
Well, this, I don't know if the word I would use is backwards compatible, but it's grandfather compatible.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking more of a long, you know what I mean? Yeah. I understand.
But yeah, because from everything I gather, PPAs are a exclusive, quote unquote, Ubuntu technology.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, PPAs are generally, if not always, hosted on Launchpad Ubuntu's website. So they basically control it. So not anybody can just create one of those PPAs. You have to basically get approved, which shouldn't be hard. But if Debian then, let's say, offers Debian PPAs, if that's not an epic score for usability, I don't know what it is.
And if you're having some trouble getting your PPA approved through Launchpad, just add some purple to it, or name it an animal who has two names both starting with the same letter, and that might help your chances a bit.
Yeah, and if not, I'm sure money would help influence it.
Spoof your IP from South Africa, maybe?
That would also help, yeah, yes.
There you go.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Okay, this next website out there, I was forced, every fiber of my being, to mention this website. And of course, in typical fashion, I can't pronounce it. It's premjith.in. Permajith.
Premjith.
Thank you. Exactly what he said. .in. This is a website that basically, as soon as you go there, instantaneously loads up a terminal, an interactive typable terminal session. This entire website is devoted to a wedding. And basically, as soon as you get there, it basically says, welcome to their wedding website. And then basically, it already has typed in sudo apt-get install wedding. Hit enter, and it goes through the installation process. Goes, gets all the files, downloads them, and then it basically says, just type wedding again in the terminal, post-install, and then you can see here are all the commands you can run with the quote-unquote wedding command, and it tells you about the bride, tells you about the groom, tells you where it's held, shows the invitation. You can RSVP via this system. This is maybe, I'm sorry, this is the kind of website that literally makes me giddy, because it's someone who literally thought out of the box and just decided to do it. This is so cheesy, I love it, and I'm jealous, because I just think this is great. And I will say, it's very purple.
Oh, yes. It is with the purple. I'll have to find it for next week, but this loosely reminds me of something that Venn Stone posted on Google Plus a couple weeks ago, but it's a terminal. It's a terminal emulating a 12-year-old on Xbox Live.
Oh, my goodness.
And you just, it's like you're chatting on Xbox Live and you can just type anything, and it's just the most horrific things that this person says to you. I will tell you, it's very, very accurate. It's exactly like playing on Xbox Live.
Accurate and not friendly, and not family friendly whatsoever.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Very cool. I will say, I'm going to mention Venn here a little bit off from another website, just as a teaser kind of thing, but that website, ultra cool, period. This website is also not completely family friendly. It's over at rogerdudler.github.io, and it's Git the Simple Guide, G-I-T the Simple Guide. Just a simple guide for starting with Git, no deep stuff, is what I'll say, stuff. And then you basically, this is like the most basic introduction to what is Git, why is Git, how to use Git. To me, this is just great. And I will say this, anything that has a file can be on Git, period. Because all this really is a file versioning and synchronizing and checking out system. That's why Git is successful to me, because it really only does this one thing. And then you can do, and then you can utilize it however you want. So this is a really cool website. And I will say, I honestly like the style of this website that's going on.
Oh, yeah. No, this is, they take something, you know, if you're not familiar with Git at all, it could just seem like, you know, like you're just confused and it's magic and how does that happen? They break it down very, not only is it easy to understand way, but and they present it in a very kind of, dare I say, beautiful fashion.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. To me, they're beautiful without trying to be beautiful. They're almost trying to be functional, but the way everything is displayed, the headers and the colors and the contrast, it just is elegant, beautiful.
Yeah,
works.
Good, good, and minimalistic. It's a very, very good way to approach it.
And then, of course, when you go to the bottom and you get to the comments, that's where all bets are really off.
But that's basically to be said with anything, no.
Yes. Exactly. But that was a cool site. If you want to learn it all about Git, now, here's a perfect use case for Git. You're working on your taxes and you want to keep revisions of everything that you do. Every time you can, every time you do a basic sync, you can have a backup of it. If you're working on an Excel spreadsheet for your family's whatever, every time you make a save, you can do a Git and you can have it saved. If you're working on any kind of project for like a website, this is perfect because you can basically get the entire website up to the server, sync it, back it up, see all the revisions, see all of your changes, easily go back. Especially if you want to collaborate with people. Mm-hmm. And this can be in the business enterprise as well. There's technically ways you can make Git work pretty seamlessly, even with, I'm sorry, I'm going to say these words out loud, but Visual Studio .net.
I gotta share a quick story. A friend of mine's going to a technology college here in Oregon, and he's very excited. He came up to visit yesterday. And he goes, yeah, I'm taking some advanced programming classes. And I was like, oh, well, what are you using? I was, oh, Visual Studio. And I just gritted my teeth and I was just like,
That's like saying, I'm going to get into advanced navigation. Oh, yeah? What are you going to be studying? Steering wheels? The two make no sense. The whole point of .NET is so you cannot be advanced. All of the secret sauce, all of the black magic, all of the voodoo, all of the base control, all of the things that are happening in a black box, which you as a developer have no control over. There's no such thing as advanced programming when it comes to .NET, and I don't care what anyone else says. I've dealt with this for years at my job. I see it every day. 99% of the developers have no idea what they're doing, and the other whatever percent get paid a lot of money because they can tell the other people what to do.
Yeah, but you know, I guess it's either that or, you know, people are on the street.
I just want .NET to die because it's going to die. Okay, this is a paid product. All paid products die when the company figures out we can make something new and make more money.
Right.
The only question is when is it going to die? I want it to die now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's understandable. No, I mean, if that speaks a lot to anything involved with tech. Really, you should build up a skill set that could be used in any environment. I mean, obviously, when you talk about learning, you know, specific software or specific languages, as long as you're locked in to a specific work environment, you can't take those skills elsewhere. Then I think you're just doing yourself that much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
But I had to.
I just really have such a thorn because I have to deal with .NET so much. And I used to code in quote-unquote XBase, which was old DOS-based stuff, which was in FoxPro, which was then purchased by Windows, which became Visual FoxPro, which then got integrated into Visual Studio. And with each step, I saw control just being lost. Just with every step, you lose immense control. But you get curved edges, but you get shiny objects. You know, that's all people kept worrying about. And it was just, you know, made me sick then. It makes me sick now. But I digress. Another website, to be honest, that I found equally appealing in its simplicity, I'll say.
Oh, yes.
This one looks like it's probably done by the FSF or whatever. It's called gitgnulinux.org. Very simple website without a lot of links, which is one thing I like, available in a lot of languages, which of course is a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is a very simple website saying, what is Linux? And it really almost uses plain English words. It comes close, really close, using plain English words, which is why I like this site, because I thought it was more easy for people to look at and understand. What is Linux? Why not Windows? That, when I saw that told me this is a FSF website because they seemingly always have to say something negative. So they had to point out why not Windows instead of focusing on positives. I'll just say, I like focusing on positive things. I understand, you know, sometimes you have to point out the obvious negatives to stuff. I do agree some people only react to negative stuff, but to have it all on the same website might send mixed signals. And I know that's just me being picky, but I'll say either way, regardless, this is a good site. It also gives you switching to Linux information and how to install it. And I do like the fact that it suggests under the choose a distribution, Ubuntu, Fedora, and Triskel. To me, those are three really good choices. I kind of wish OpenSUSE was in there as well, but no OpenSUSE, no love for the SUSE. But I think those three are very usable distributions, so that's good
for me. Yeah, no, I checked this out earlier this week, and this is very cool. I think that this is a great website for... I don't know if I would send someone a link that maybe just... I wouldn't just push this on someone, but if someone was asking me questions about it, I would definitely, just about Linux in general or switching, you know, from Windows to something else, I would send this to them. Or this would be a perfect thing, like if you had a buddy over, be like, hey, we just take 5 minutes and just like read this. If you're really that interested, just read it, and then I'll answer any questions you have. Because I could say I'm a coworker of mine. He was talking about how he and his fiance were kind of in dire straits with their computer. And I said, what's going on? And he has this tower that he built like 2 or 3 years ago, but Windows 7 is just completely messed up on it. And he didn't have money to fix it. So they were just going to buy a new laptop with their tax money. And I asked him if he'd heard about Linux before. And he's like, yeah, but I have no idea how to even. And so I'm just going to throw another drive in there. Throw Ubuntu on it, give it to him, say, hey, go play with this for a couple weeks, and then ask me any questions if you need anything. So, yeah, it's amazing what you can do when you present the information in the right manner that's easy to digest, and it sort of answers a lot of those denial questions up front, and this does those things very, very well.
Right. Well, I'll say another site I'm going to mention in honor of Klaatu not going to be at this upcoming NELF. Which I will say, there's only one sad part now for every conference I go to, and that's if Klaatu's not there, because I'm not going to lie. Hearing him talk, chatting with him for even a couple minutes, because I don't want to take up a lot of his time. I know he's a busy guy. So I just chat to him every now and then for a couple minutes. Unbelievably smart guy. That's all I got to say. And very easy to talk to. To me, it's very easy to understand how this guy can be successful at anything he really wants to be successful at. So he took a job in New Zealand. He moved to New Zealand like 2 months ago. And I'm sure it was a choice that he made that he wanted to make. So I hope you're happy in New Zealand. But even if you're there, we can still all access straightedgelinux.com, which is a website he put together that, to be honest, does a lot of basic information about Linux in a very straightforward fashion. I guess hence the name Straight Edge Linux. He also has a guide on Slacks. He's definitely a big, big liker of Slacks Linux, which is basically based off of Slackware Linux. I highly, highly, highly encourage people here, visit the website, glance around, look around, click some of the links, and you'll understand why I say this guy is really smart. To be able to put this kind of information in such relevant, easy to understand terms, I just, you know, tip my hat to him. And his sense of design is obviously really good.
I never knew anything about this. Yeah, this is also very good. And this is what something like this needs to be. It needs to be the interface, the vehicle for the information needs to be simple like this and really accessible. And yeah, all three websites, this one and then the previous two, seem to nail that really well. Because, you know just as well as I do, you load up a blog post on how to, you know, do something like install an SSD into a Chromebook or something, and it could just be like all text, or you know, how to properly install and configure, you know, a certain like Arch or something. You're just like blown away. But to have it presented in this manner is very, very nice, and I think it'll be very, very effective for a lot of people.
Yeah, hats off to Klaatu, and I'll say this: if you go there and you find the information useful, I ask that you send him an email and let him know. We too often in the internet world quickly email people when we think they're doing something wrong, or they say something wrong, or we think they're stupid. We don't often enough just drop positive lines saying, hey, good job with this site, I like it, or this page really helped me or helped my brother or whatever. Make sure you let people know when you think they do really good work. I personally think Klaatu does epically good work. He got me re-energized about Slacks because I tried Slacks before the last major revision, and I definitely had fun with it. I was shocked at how quick and seamless everything seemed to work without very, very little effort in to get it up and running. So drop by straightedgelinux.com and give it a poke. Okay, super just quick link. This is a perfect example of the kind of thing in Linux I don't care. I could really care less about this, but it's the kind of thing that I really think can help adoption in the long run. One of the gripes I've heard from more than a couple people is with faster hard drives, to boot Linux sometimes is quicker than to resume from suspend and hibernate, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me how that can be the case. But I will say on Ars Technica themselves, they actually posted a quick little article saying that the Linux kernel, the upcoming stable release 3.14, is going to start to show these implementations, but 3.15 are going to implement changes that will, they're saying, kind of like drastically speed up resume and suspend time. So that's good for a lot of people out there. Anything to help nudge people over with Linux being quick and usable, I'm all for. I have not resumed a computer since 2001 or something. So this really doesn't affect me directly, but it's still good to see that's going on.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is going to be a lot more applicable to laptops, correct?
Some people do suspend desktops just to save power kind of thing, but I would say primarily, utterly, ridiculously, the major hardware affected will be laptops.
Yeah, and as I'm not about to say as desktops die off, because I don't think they ever will completely die off, but you will see a shift, as we've seen in the past few years, people doing more computing on mobile devices, whether tablets, phones, or netbooks, you know, more laptop purchases versus desktop purchases. So for this ability, and you know, dare I say, being a kernel update, if not, well, I shouldn't say if, but when we start to see more actual Linux-based laptops, Linux-based tablets on the market, this is going to be another improvement of that.
Well, that's the thing. Tablet technology, I never really know what happens when I hit the button, but suspend-type thing wouldn't shock me. I'm kind of with you. I never want to say desktops will die, but I know they're going to become less primary, dare I say, where they're going to become almost secondary computers and only primary for a certain segment of the population. This is one thing I can tell you. Linux seems to cater towards majority quote-unquote hardware. What I mean by that is, as desktops become less popular, you're literally going to see more issues popping up with desktop hardware, and with laptops becoming predominantly more successful, you're going to see less issues with laptop hardware, which is an immediate role reversal from Linux from about 7 years ago, where almost any desktop you could load and everything would work, except for if you still had a Win modem in your computer, you would see some weird issues. But a lot of things would just work, where, you know, sometimes you had to load NIC drivers, sometimes you had to load the other drivers, always video drivers, but that's neither here nor there. But on laptops now, it's becoming, you just install and things just seem to work, where we might start seeing issues crop up with desktops just because they're going to become less popular.
Yeah, I can definitely see, you know, walking into like a Micro Center or a Fry's Electronics or even like a Best Buy. Well, I mean, I was at Best Buy the other week. I posted a great photo on Google Plus of some Chromebooks displaying a particular website. Go check it out. But yeah, you're not seeing the entire aisles dedicated to desktops, pre-built desktops. You know what I mean? You're seeing those mobile devices and the components to build your desktop. So I see it becoming more of like a niche market in the next 5 to 10 years, because people will be like, yeah, but I like, and that's it. It's like the layman don't understand that. Like, I had a guy I work with who swore up and down that at the time his phone was more powerful than his new laptop. Because but the phone has a quad core processor, and I only have a dual core processor in the laptop, so it's twice as fast, right? At that point you just want,
the numbers are twice
right, at that yeah. point you just want to say yes and just walk away, because they're never going to get it. But I had one other piece of that too. You're talking about I lost it. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, and that's one of the biggest things. I think some companies prey on that kind of thing, where the architectures are completely different, but they can make the numbers sound like, well, it's obviously
right, better. Right. But no, you're seeing and you're seeing Linux as well go. I mean, if you think of Linux today, you know you're talking Android, you're talking set-top boxes, you're talking all sorts of even mobile technology, wearable technology. But in the next, what is it? Well, in less than a month now, you're going to see Linux installed on a lot of machines that we interface with every single day in order to access cash money.
Yeah. Well, I know, I think it was Poland, I want to say Poland, the UK, and Spain, I think, were the three countries that said, we are switching right now, starting to switch all of our ATMs off of XP. And a lot of people keep saying, well, I don't know what they're worrying about. You know, there's not like people are running browsers on these ATMs. They're perfectly safe.
No.
They're not. They're not. And it's because, dare I say, I have just a touch of experience, just a little bit of actual real-world physical hands-on experience with embedded XP and systems that run on that to be public-facing computers. And my experience tells me 99.999% of the software out there is copied and pasted and shared with everyone else, and is written extremely inefficient and is definitely buggy. And if you remember Steve Gibson's one rule about software is, a software bug is merely the beginning of an exploit.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind, if someone wanted to spend the time, they can find ways of attacking, hacking, or cracking a phone, ATM to some degree. Now, the question is, to what degree? The hardest thing about any kind of ATM crime is not getting caught. It isn't doing it. So changing the base operating system can only help the security. Let's once again focus on the positive.
Right.
You know what I mean? It can only help the security. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yep.
Last link on the show. I am old. I'm gray.
We know this.
I'm crusty. Mm-hmm. I have chitlins upstairs.
Get off my lawn.
Laying in bed. Get off my lawn. And I will say, this kind of news made me a little bit happy, but I don't want to get burnt. So I'm literally going to wait on my enthusiasm until it actually happens, and that is, good old Games, GOG, says they're going to be supporting Linux better in the future. I think their initial goal was to have 1,000 Linux games ready to play maybe by the end of this summer. Good. That's all I gotta say. Good. It's about time. About time. What's wrong with you? It's been, what are you waiting for? Okay, just do it. And I do not want a embedded whine in the application and say it supports Linux, because that's not fair. Okay, it's not right. But the whole reason I'm bringing this up is, I will say this. Just like I feel like Podnuts and Podnuts Daily has a niche of podcasting that no one else is even attempting to do, or if anyone else is out there trying to do it, they just don't do it right. I will say, I have searched, I have looked high, I have looked low, I have looked South America, North America,
the East Coast,
Europe,
the West Coast,
wherever, yeah, everywhere. I cannot find any good, consistent Linux gaming information from sources that I have little doubt in their sincerity, honesty, rugged, vicious, sometimes honesty, but they're honest either way, and that is Venstone, Linux Gamecast. if you only like family-friendly material, at least go to the website, go to each set of show notes, okay? The show notes alone give me 10 times more information than I've been able to find on any other website about any type of Linux game that has ever existed. Every time I listen to one of their shows, I constantly open up their notes and I constantly click links. These guys literally are pushing the Linux game front forward for me. And that's saying something because I'm not really a gamer anymore. Like I said, I'm old. And these guys are getting me genuinely interested and excited about some games.
First of all, shame on you for saying you're not a gamer, because you know what the problem is?
I'm old and I have kids. I run a podcast network and I have a job.
You're spending too much time near Mr. Rock Falls, Illinois. I think he's contagious. Sorry. Yeah. Shout out to Eric Ardini. But I will say that Venn Stone, Jordan Sfong, and Pedro Mateus, they have a fantastic show. It's
I don't know about Pedro, though.
Oh, come on. No. The chemistry those guys have is great. You can't deny that. I will say this. Very rarely do I see if the way I've always and if you think back to the podcast you guys listen to, two-man teams or four-person groups work very well. It's very hard for an odd number to work. Three is hard, and five almost seems like too much, because it's just like everybody's just waiting for that moment to throw their opinion into the hat. But these guys, and make no mistake, they don't just report. I've heard them on numerous occasions, and these are the guys that like would be at your local game shop that you would want to hang out with, like just you know, lean in and go, okay guys, cut the crap, tell me what you really think about this stuff. They don't hold anything back. They constantly, I've heard them numerous times, take developers and rake them over the coals for guaranteeing Linux support if they got more money from the community, that type of stuff.
Yes, they are those guys, but they're also the same guys where if you're sitting there chatting with them and then you look over your shoulder and you see a loved one or your mother walking to you, you hurry up and leave and usher them as far away from these people as possible, because no good can come.
But that's not because of the language or the content. That's only because you don't want your loved ones to know the truth and that you don't want them to know how society really works.
Well, bottom line, they couldn't
handle it. Right.
They couldn't handle it. That's just the bottom line. They can't handle it. Yeah. I will say, even though one's a Canadian, a can-do-adian, the other one is a Arjun, I can't find a job, Penian, and the other one is a Georgian?
Resident of Georgia.
Via
the state.
Yeah.
Not the country.
Via Germany. Yeah. Quite an elaborate collaboration goes on there that seems like they've been together
right,
for years.
Right. No. It's a fantastic show. And I'm a fan of the Cocaine Voltron. And none of you will understand what that means until you listen to the show.
Yeah. If you understand what that means before you listen to the show, please stop listening to this show and find yourself help.
Right. No, they and the thing is that, like, I can't say enough good about that show. It's just, especially, let's just say they have a very unique rating system.
Oh, yeah. Hey, chairs.
Well,
who the hell ever heard of that in their life? You can go back 200,000 years or whatever the first chair was invented, and no one said, you know, I think this will make a good rating system. No. Why? Because it doesn't. But it does.
It does.
That's the weird thing.
Yes. Yeah, linuxgamepass.com. Check it out. They don't hold anything back. They're very, very honest about their opinions. I mean, very honest. The kind of honesty that you want to hear when it comes to and look at a guy like Dor and
say it. What? Say it.
Go ahead.
Say it. I like the kind of honesty when money is.
That's what I'm about to say. If you look at guys like Dor, and I'm not far behind him because I have almost a three-year-old, and I have another on the way. We're fathers, we're working men. We don't have a lot of time to spend on gaming. Therefore, not only is it an investment of time, but it's also an investment of money. And if you're talking about, you know, the high-priced Linux game or high-priced PC game, regardless, versus like a console game, they're still fairly cheap. in comparison. But that's still money. If you want to go on to, you know, CNET or whatever in their gaming column, and the guy gave it a 9 out of 10, that's great. Yeah, but like what would one of my best friends really think about it that isn't afraid of really laying it on the line and telling me the real deal versus, you know, potentially being in the pocket of an advertiser? That's these guys. They will tell you exactly what they think. And it's not all negative. It's not all positive. It's just honest. And that's what I expect in this type of journalism.
Well, that's the thing. We've been on with these guys for a long time. I don't care. I almost get giddy when I hear them starting to like gush over a game, because I know that's no easy task. That is no easy task at all. And like when they did the Powerpuff Girls game and they just demolished it, I'm laughing at the same time, because I know this game really does suck. No one should spend their time playing this game.
Right. Yeah, but oh man, that just makes me I'm gonna load. That's what I'm bringing with me to Nelf to watch on the plane. Is I'm gonna get caught up on Linux Gamecast, because it's been a few months.
Dude, I'll tell you now. Check out their YouTube channel. There's plenty of content you don't even know exist that they produce, where they're literally just playing games and they just publish those videos.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And the commentary alone, like you'd pay money to sit and watch that. Like to get some popcorn and sit and watch.
I'll just say this. I'm really happy I haven't stumbled across their videos on 5by.
Yeah, because you wouldn't even be here right now.
Exactly.
I don't even know if you'd make it to Nelf.
I would.
If you're stuck in the bathroom at Nelf and the guy's like, what is he doing in there? But like, I know what he's doing in there. And trust me, it's not what you think.
The water's running. Right. What are you doing?
It's not what you think. Trust me. He's just clicking next. Next.
Next.
Next. Well, I guess we have to be addicted to something. Speaking of addictions, how is, let's say once a quarter, you can kind of give us a quick State of the Union address on the state of e-cigs. How's your e-cig been working out for you since you switched?
Good. It's been over a year.
Really? That long? I had no idea.
Last December, like 27th was when I first went to the store and bought one. Haven't smoked a cigarette since then. Period.
That's fantastic.
And even when I go and partake in alcoholic beverage consumption, I don't want a cigarette. To be quite honest, the other day I got in a car with a coworker, and as soon as I sat in the car, I went, and my nose has been broken 20 times. I can't smell very good, okay? I sat in the car and I went, you stink. God, I could smell the stank of cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, we should do a short mini-series, and you can recount the stories of how your nose got broken every time, because there's a whole other side to you. You've let it leak out over the years, like you talking to professional wrestlers and all sorts of foolishness. So I think that would be a great like behind the curtain kind of masterpiece theater type of thing.
Most of them are really boring. You know, literally rolling over in my own bed. I've broken my nose like 4 times. I wake up and the pillow is covered in blood.
That's some intense dreaming, or just some really awful pillows.
Or my wife was really mad and she didn't have the guts to admit it to me.
It's true.
Possible.
Quite possible.
Not probably.
Yeah. Awesome. Was that the last link, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, dude, let's see. Today is Monday the 24th. Literally, is that right? In 10 days? 10, 11 days, I'll be on a plane with Martin.
Yeah.
That's just insane. As long as my wife doesn't give birth first. I just need to like randomly yell, hold it, like into the other room. Hold it.
Yeah. That's going to work out fine.
I'm like, look, I realize what's happening here, but I have this trip planned, right? I don't want to be that dad. But yeah, I'm very excited. But yeah, everything's been going well so far. So regardless, I should still be there. Oh man, yeah. Here's the thing: we already started scouting like places to buy alcohol. What was the name of that store?
Remember? Doesn't matter. It's nearby. Google. As soon as I walk out the hotel door, phone, microphone, ding. Google now. Locate liquor store. And it's right there.
Oh, and since I've been on the show last, I bought a Nexus 5, which I didn't mention.
Oh, must be nice.
I'm not trying to rub that into you, you so-and-so. I'm just throwing it out there in the world. Oh, man, I cannot. I'm not going to go on about it further because he'll just be very upset with me. But
nah, man, it is one of the, in my humble opinions, premier devices that have ever been made. Sleek, functional, powerful, easily rootable, period. Yeah. Bar none. Right now, if I were to go get a phone, I don't know what I would ever talk myself into besides a Nexus 5.
And Guru from Android Buffet finally pulled the trigger. I don't know if you heard the episode yet, Dor.
I don't think
you get, it's near the end. It's quite tense filled. I think Jerry, much like the friend that he is, he pushed Guru over the edge and made him do it. It was a very loud, audible click. I spoiled it, but regardless, if you listen to Android Buffet, go check it out. He is now in the Nexus circle, which Dor's in because he has two Nexus devices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yes, and Guru will probably be at NELF. Haven't got confirmation yet, but I have faith.
He's trying to find a good discount through AAA because he missed out on the initial discount through a for being a NELF attendee.
That's right.
But this year, I will recognize him for who he is, and I will make sure that you acknowledge him for who he is because that failed to happen last year.
Thank you. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I said hi to him and talked to him, and then like 30 seconds later, what? Yeah. Who? Oh.
And if you guys listen to that latest episode, that guy that emailed him about that $30 rack, that was me. He didn't acknowledge me for who I am because he probably didn't know. But yeah, that was me. You're welcome.
Very cool.
All right. So where can we find you on the internet, Dor? Is there a specific place?
I highly encourage people, mail@podnuts.com. I'm going to throw these two little nuggets out there. Podnuts is looking at possibly doing a quote-unquote book club, more than likely a audiobook club. If you are interested, email me, mail@podnuts.com. Please, if you can, podnuts.com/survey. I'm asking people to go there and submit to me all of their best content that they listen to or watch, audio or video. I'm asking people just to submit them by category. So hypothetically, if you want to submit game-type content, historical-type content, science-type content, and tech-type content, you're going to have to do the survey 4 times. Each different category is its own entry into the survey. I'm looking for the best of the best because iTunes is iTunes. I'm a Linux guy. And trying to find quality audio-video content via Google is very hard because everyone is getting masterful at basically SEOing and just hijacking the game and getting their numbers higher when they shouldn't be. I need help finding good stuff. And if I get enough good stuff, I'm going to say that might spin into a show of its own.
We'll have like a content aggregation show.
Something
like that. We'll call it Contag. Contag. Okay. At podnuts.com. No, but yeah, please go fill out the survey. Is it just podnuts.com/survey where they can find that? Yeah.
Sir, yes, sir.
Very, very cool. Very straightforward because, you know, I can honestly say, and this is, I have a sense of pride in this. I haven't paid for cable television in almost 5 years on purpose. Like, not just because I couldn't afford it, but I was just like, dude, I'm done. I'm done paying these companies to advertise to me and then get content, you know, as like a side bonus. I switched to Netflix and Hulu. I love everything I do now. The Chromecast, the Roku makes it easy, all sorts of modern devices. But a lot of stuff I watch now is through YouTube and through Vimeo and a few other of these internet services. And if I think of the stuff that I watch on a regular basis, I don't think I share it with a lot of people, especially on the show or people I talk to online. So I would like to think that a lot of people like me are similar in that fashion, where if you watch something or listen to something on a regular basis, you're just not necessarily telling anybody. So regardless, even if you only get turned on to one new piece of content because of this, it's going to be worth it. So please go to podnuts.com/survey, fill that out. I know that I listen to a bunch of good comedy podcasts. I've watched some workout videos on YouTube that's going to help me do some weight loss, which you wouldn't.
Oh, I was worried.
What?
I thought you were going to say you were watching them for the females.
Oh, no. This is an Asian dude named Mike.
Oh. Yeah. Should I worry even more?
No, not at all. No. Oh,
okay, good.
And a buddy of mine, Robert Cheek, he's a vegan bodybuilder. He has a series he's starting soon, which you wouldn't associate me with any sort of bodybuilder and or vegan bodybuilder at all, ever. But we met under some funny circumstances, so...
I don't know. Part of me believes I would, because whenever you hang around him, you don't have to worry about him eating any nearby.
He's the best guy to take to the buffet.
Yeah, wings, you know, kielbasa.
I was like, don't worry, I got the salad. Could you pass the beans? Yep. Very cool. All right. So let's see here. You of course can find me just on Google Plus, just Cody Cooper, CodyCooper, or you could send me an email to cody@pods.com. Oh, I don't know if we plugged this on the show yet, but Door, myself, Chad Wallenberg.
Did you just say plug and butt?
I may have used those two words in the same sentence.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Listen, we'll pay Steve Cherubino to edit that out.
Exactly. There you
go. Okay, so what I want to do is plug. Well, first of all, Doors Talk at Northeast Linux Fest, which is going to be on what door?
The main thing I'm going to be talking about is professional podcasting using free and open source tools.
There you go. So yeah, head over to northeastlinuxfest.org. If you click on the speakers link, you can get a list of the speakers that have committed so far. It's subject to change, of course, things happen. But in a brief description of their talks, one of the talks that we haven't been advertising on this show as of late is we're doing a panel called Ask the Geek. It's going to be myself, Dor, Chad Wallenberg from Linux Basement and Health Nuts, and Martin Rambo Obando from Geeksters, and my fill-in on Linux, the rest of us when I can't make it. We'll all be on a panel taking questions from not only the crowd, but from you guys, which I'll get to in a second. And that panel was going to be hosted by our good friend, Russ the Beast Winner, the Techie Geek. The Beast.
Nicest dude, guy ever.
And then Tracy Holtz will be at NELF. He may be on that panel. He may not be. It's not 100% confirmed yet. Holster. Right. Yep. Good guy. Lots of good people are going to be there. But if you have a question, and I don't care what it is, that would like to be addressed on that panel, please send it to cody@podness.com. Will be the easiest website for you to send it to. The easiest email address. And then I will make sure to have those on hand for the panel. I'll make sure to hand those off to Russ, and we'll address as many of them as possible. It can be questions about us, questions about Linux. It doesn't matter, because this is just going to be kind of a free-for-all panel to sort of have some fun. And I believe it's also the last talk of the fest, so it's literally the one of the last things we do before the after party. So it's going to ramp up, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be kind of a good way to kick off the night. And I would love nothing more than to have a lot of that good content brought by you guys who listen, every guys and girls, I'm speaking about you, Ashley, every week here at Linux the rest of us. Father of the year. That was last year, though. Who's going to be Father of the Year 2014? Who's in the running? I would say John Zim, because he's posted some good stuff. He's posted some good stuff on Google Plus lately.
Absolutely. Honestly, I want to say Adam, because he's thinking about making the Raspberry Pi Mission Control Center.
Adam, is it Hammett?
No, Turnbull.
Oh, Aaron, not Adam. Aaron.
Aaron. I'm not thinking right, because I was trying to think of what it was called. The master, I was thinking Master Control MCP. No, that ain't it.
Master Control Person.
It was like a Raspberry Tri setup to where it played old videos, and it like was NASA things, and it told you to hit buttons on your console and they lit up and stuff. Really cool idea.
Oh, very nice.
Aaron.
And don't for one minute think that I don't listen to Podnuts Meetup, and I hear you say the word Aragon, because you know who I said it to my
wife tonight, and I said, I can't believe I just said that. It's Oregon.
But I heard you say it, and you know who I thought of immediately, whose face graced my memory.
Let's move on. Let's not say that.
Wonder Years. Okay. Yes. All right. So speaking of moving on, please visit the ACF.co. That is the Accessible Computing Foundation, run by our good friend, Jonathan Nato. And that is how you say his last name, Dor. It's Nato. And Martin, that's how you say his last name, Nato. Just think of it as N-A-D-O, Nato. It's very easy to say. Everybody is completely just terrified of mispronouncing it, so they call him Nadu or Nadow. It's just Nato.
I think of it as potato.
Whatever you need to do, it's so simple.
I'm going to start calling him tater salad.
That works. That works. But yeah, the ACF.co. And the Accessible Computing Foundation, you can become a regular contributor and donator for as little as $2 a month. That money goes into some fantastic projects that is helping open source software become more accessible for those people who need it, who are afflicted by either vision impairments, physical disabilities. It's essentially just making software more usable for everybody of every walk of life. And let me tell you, every single time I see that deduction come out of my bank account every month, I know that money is not only going to a good cause, but it's in the hands of a good person who is using 100% of that money for that cause. So the ACF.co, go check it out.
Yeah, bottom line, hardest working guy, period. I highly encourage people, once in a while, drop a link in your Facebook stream, in your Twitter stream or whatever, about the ACF.co. Spreading the knowledge about this is just as important as supporting it. Getting the word out is vital, necessary, needed. This is a global endeavor to help the world's population, not the people of Massachusetts, not the people of Carolina, not some small segment of people, but literally all computer users everywhere. The main thing I want to really get out is we need to get the word out better.
Yep. And if you are going to mention anything involving him or the ACF or Northeast Linux Fest on Google+, please also include plus Jonathan Nato. That is JonathanNadeau. Because without that plus of his name, he can't see it, because Google Plus is not accessible. However, when you do include plus his name, plus Jonathan Nato, he does get a notification, so he does know that that message is being sent out there. So please do that. Just that easy extra step.
Very cool, very cool.
All right. Dor, any other final words?
No, just thank you guys for coming out. Thanks for all the support everyone gives us. And don't forget, podnews.com/Amazon, the most frictionless way you can support us.
Yes. I'm getting ready to order some special items to bring with me to NELF. You know what? This is going to sound funny, but with the hike, the quote unquote hike of price with Amazon Prime as of late, a lot of people think, is it worth it? Do I really need to do that? You would be surprised at the stuff that you can buy on Amazon that you're not already, or that you're buying in your everyday life. You're just not buying it online. For instance, I'm getting some beef jerky on Amazon. More importantly, I'm getting some beef jerky on podnews.com/Amazon and taking it with me to NELF. And I'm getting some awesome toothpicks so that the people that I hand the jerky out to aren't left wondering, how am I going to get this stuff out of my teeth? That Cody Cooper, that bastard, that ice machine, he did this on purpose just to make me uncomfortable like I am now. You know what I'm talking about, Dor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not this year, my friend.
I got some today.
Not this year, my friend.
I got some jerky today during lunch, just in homage and preparation.
There you go. Dude, it's the perfect food. You can take it anywhere. You can put it in the bag, put it in your pants. I'm not going to say where, in a pocket.
Well, you keep that.
To myself. Jerky to yourself. Yeah, that sounded even worse, but we're just going to move on. So yeah, the ACF.co, please, yeah, podnews.com/Amazon, fantastic way to support the network. All the proceeds go into making more content and equipment, getting equipment to make the show better, to make all the shows better, the network better. So we're not using this money to buy beer or to buy jerky. It's all going in back into the network. So if you're going to be buying stuff on Amazon anyway, go check that out. Doesn't cost you a cent more, helps us out in the process. We really appreciate it. Yep. And I would like to say, finally, we're now done with the show. So thank you very much for listening. And remember, as always, Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.